Good morning. Please, if you have your Bibles there, kindly turn to the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore, she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight, and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her, and she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened, when they had come to Bethlehem, that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. To just have an idea of the conclusion of the story, let's turn to Ruth chapter 4. And we shall read verses 13 to 17. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went in to her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And as we look into it now, we pray, O God, that the Holy Spirit will be here to open our hearts to your word and also help us, Lord, to apply what we learn to our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first, I want to thank the pastor for preaching part one of the message. What he said concerning Psalm 46 is really part one of the message for today. So this is part two of the message. And the Lord has a way of working things out. He has laid on his heart certain words, and what I'm going to say is just a follow-up to what he laid on his heart. That is how the Holy Spirit works. So I thank God for that. Out of the 66 books in the Bible, only two were named after women: Esther and Ruth. The book of Ruth was one of the five Old Testament books called the Megillot, or five scrolls, which were read by rabbis in the synagogues during some Jewish festivals. The other four books were Song of Songs, Ecclesiastes, Lamentations, and Esther. The book of Ruth was read at Pentecost. Of course, we are familiar with Pentecost. It was read at Pentecost because of references to harvest time in Ruth chapter 2 and 3. Now, the story we read in Ruth chapter 1 and 4 is a true story. This is not made up. It is true. It happened to a human being like you and I. It is a very moving story. It is a story about human struggle, a story about crossing the racial divide, a story of great tragedy, but a story that ended in great triumph. I also noticed that there are some fascinating names in the story. I'll just mention a few of them. Elimelech. Elimelech means, "My God is king." My God is King. One of the very last words my mother spoke before she went to be with the Lord was a question she put to her granddaughter who was sitting next to her. She said, "Do you know Jesus as your King? Do you know Jesus as your King?" Elimelech, my God is King. Naomi means pleasant or lovely. Orpah means stubborn. And Ruth is derived from a word meaning friend or friendship. It is my prayer that God will use this moving story to move us closer to Him. And the title of my message is very simple: Lessons from the Life of Naomi. Lessons from the Life of Naomi. And I'll focus on 3 points. The first one: life is full of surprises. Secondly, it is not yet over. And thirdly, till death do us part. Let's look at the first one. Life is full of surprises. We are very familiar with that expression, but it is something that became real to me in 1995. In 1995, I picked up the phone in Lagos, Nigeria, and I called the city of Jos in the northern part of the country, wanting to speak to my cousin, Frank, who worked for a Christian organization that focused on taking the gospel to students in the higher institutions. I had not heard from Frank for quite some time, so that call was what I regarded as a routine call, just to find out how Frank was. But the first thing that surprised me was the person that answered was actually not Frank, but his secretary. And his secretary was questioning me, "Who are you? How are you related to Frank?" And I said, "Frank was my cousin. I just wanted to say hello." And then she went on, to cut a long story short, to reveal to me that about 3 days or so ago, Frank died in a tragic accident while returning from a Christian conference. He died suddenly on active duty for the Lord. And to be honest, when I went to Jos and I saw how Frank's body was really ruined, I said to myself, I look forward to seeing him in his new body when Jesus comes back. I wanted to speak to Frank, but Frank was already in heaven. Life is full of surprises. In Ruth chapter 1, we read of the tragic surprises experienced by Naomi and his family, and her family. As a result of famine in the land of Judah, Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their 2 sons left their hometown, Bethlehem, and they went to settle temporarily in Moab, where there was food. Initially, everything went well in the family of Elimelech. The food problem was obviously solved, and their 2 sons settled down and got married, one to Ruth and one to Orpah. However, after some time, tragic struck, and one after the other, Naomi lost her husband and 2 sons. Now, let us read her reaction to that terrible turn of events In Ruth chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, this is Naomi talking. She said, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me." It is clear from these verses that Naomi blamed God very squarely for her tragedies. To make the point more strongly, she decided to change her name. Naomi, which meant pleasant. She said, "Don't call me pleasant. Call me Mara," which means bitter. Naomi was deeply hurt, and she was very bitter towards God. While we never wish to be in such tragic situations, I wonder how you and I would have handled that situation. If you were Naomi, if I were Naomi, how would I react? Would we have done better than Naomi? I will tell you, based on my experience, the temptation to be bitter and blame God is real when we are going through difficult times. But it is my prayer, as I have found from my experience as well, it is my prayer that God will give us all the strength we need to avoid yielding to such a temptation. Let us remember that our God, God who knows everything, our God is not surprised by our surprises. We don't know what is round the corner, but God knows it. Not just that, He is already round the corner. He is already there. He could see our problems coming long before they happen. And He has put in place a rescue package for us. We are familiar with the story of Job. Job was someone who experienced terrible tragedies. But listen to what he said during his trials. Job 23 verse 10. "But He knows the way that I take. When He has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." May that be our response whenever God allows us to pass through difficult times. I believe that when we are going through difficult times, God wants our faith to grow. My brother and sisters in the Lord, don't go for spiritual bronze medal. Don't go for spiritual silver medal. Go for gold. Let there be a gold rush in this church. A gold rush for the Lord. I have been tested. I am being tested. I know many people in this church are being tested. But what God wants is for each one of us to go for gold for His glory. At the end of all this, at the end of all our trials, at the end of all these problems, God wants to hang on our necks gold medals. He doesn't want to put bronze medals on our necks or silver medals. He wants to put gold medal round your neck and my neck. And by His grace, that will happen. The second point I want to focus on is, it is not yet over. It is not yet over. The name Lawrence Peter Yogi Berra may not be familiar to you, but you probably would have heard or read at least one statement credited to him. He was a very successful American baseball player and coach who won many trophies with New York Yankees. He was elected into Baseball Hall of Fame in 1972, and he passed away in September 2015 at the age of 90. When he was coaching New York Mets in 1973, his team was rooted at the bottom of their league, the very bottom. And so a reporter, I think trying to make fun of him, a reporter turned to him and asked him this question: "Is it all over? Is it all over?" And in reply, Yogi Berra turned and said those famous words: "It ain't over till it's over." He was basically saying that he was not going to give up, even though the situation looked hopeless. It is amazing that his team actually went on to win the title for their division that particular season. It ain't over until it's over. Some Christians have modified that popular Yogi Berra saying to include God in it. So it is now said, "It ain't over till God says it's over." I like that. This is to convey the message that God has a final say, and he can bring hope to a hopeless situation like the one in which Naomi found herself. As we read earlier on, in her deep sorrow, Naomi changed her name from Naomi to Mara, from pleasant to bitter. But we thank God that that was not the end of the story. It was not the end of the story. Two important things happened. Firstly, God solved the problem of famine, and Naomi was able to return to Bethlehem in the land of Judah. If we read Ruth chapter 1 verse 6, we see this. "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread." Through God's intervention, food was again abundant in Bethlehem, which means house of bread. Are you going through a period of spiritual famine, a kind of spiritual dryness? If so, be encouraged that it is for a season. With God's wonderful help and obedience on your part, he will restore you and help you blossom again. Secondly, through a number of God-directed circumstances, Naomi's family has something to do with the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read Ruth 4, 13 to 17. "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went in to her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him.' Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, 'There is a son born to Naomi,' and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." Therefore, we see that in God's own time, he turned Naomi's bitterness into lasting joy. Naomi had the joy of looking after Obed, the son that God gave Ruth and Boaz. In a way, God changed her name from Mara back to Naomi, from bitter back to pleasant. The women in Bethlehem prayed that Obed would be famous in Israel. God answered their prayer beyond their expectation, because Obed, I would say, is famous beyond the boundaries of Israel. Obed, I would say, is famous worldwide. He was an ancestor of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The same God is still available to help us deal with our bitterness today. He is there to help us deal with our problems today. And I know He will give us lasting joy. I believe that we are actually in a better situation to deal with bitterness today than during the Old Testament times, because we have Jesus. We have Jesus. It is only through laying down your burdens at the foot of the cross that I know that your bitterness can be turned into deep joy and lasting peace. You remember the frightening experience of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee? They were so stressed that they even thought the Master Jesus didn't care for them. However, as we see in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. This same Jesus is here today to calm all the spiritual winds and waves that have been tossing you and I here and there. It is my prayer that each one of us will enjoy in practical day-to-day living the wonderful peace and calmness that Jesus gives. Apart from God speaking to us from His word, I have found many times that He actually speaks to us from some songs. One day, a few weeks back, during my meditation, I was thinking of a particular problem in my life. And as I was thinking and thinking about this problem, I believe the Holy Spirit deposited in my heart just one line: "For this, I have Jesus. For this, I have Jesus." And you know what I did? I immediately searched on the internet for the song. I knew it was a Graham Kendrick song. And I simply just sat there and I listened to this song. I listened again and again. And the phrase or the line, "For this I have Jesus," kept ringing in my mind. And God's peace returned to my heart. And really, when you think about it, which problem do you have that Jesus cannot handle? What is it? What is it? It doesn't matter how complicated. Is it physical? Is it mental? Is it emotional? Is it spiritual? For whatever it is, Jesus can handle it. Amen. "For this I have Jesus." As you see me here, I'm a working miracle. If I were to just list my problems to you, you would be amazed. You may ask, "How am I surviving?" I know the answer. "For this I have Jesus." So I ask you today, do you have Jesus? Do you have Jesus? If so, whatever you may be confronting, whether in your own life, in the life of your family, whatever it is, say to yourself, or remind yourself rather, for this, I have Jesus, and that makes all the difference. The last, but also an important point, till death do us part. If it were possible to go back to the Old Testament days and make a television program, this is your life. Naomi, this is your life. I know that one person will feature very prominently in that television program. And that person is Ruth. Ruth would have featured very prominently. The behavior of Ruth is exceptional. Her commitment to Naomi is exceptional. We read about this in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so also, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." As far as Ruth was concerned, there was no going back. She will follow Naomi to the very end. It's interesting that the name Ruth, as I mentioned earlier, is derived from a word that means friend or friendship. We can say that her behavior towards Naomi was consistent with her name. But Ruth's exceptional commitment to Naomi is a challenge to us, and also leads us to ask some important personal questions. So I ask you these questions, and I ask myself the same questions. How deep is your commitment to Jesus? Are you prepared to follow him wherever he leads you? Are you prepared to follow him to the very end of your life? Also, how deep is your commitment to your spouse, for those of us who are married? Some of the phrases used by Ruth could easily form part of a marital vow. Have you faithfully kept the marital vow that you took before God and man on your wedding day? In this regard, I want to share with you very, just for a minute or two, the story of Dr. Robertson McQuilkin. He wrote a book titled A Promise Kept. A Promise Kept. He was the president of Columbia International University in South Carolina, USA. He was their president for 22 years. But in 1990, he decided to step down from his prestigious post in order to take care of his wife, Muriel. Now, Muriel had Alzheimer's disease, and she required constant 24-hour care. And so, the husband decided to give up his well-paying job and very prestigious job just to take care of his wife. Some people were very disappointed that the academic society or academic world was going to lose such a brain. But some people congratulated him for his bold move to look after his wife. Incidentally, both of them were missionaries in Japan for 12 years. Some people suggested to Dr. McQuilkin that actually he could just get or pay for some people to look after his wife or just put her in a nursing home. But he refused. He said, "I will do the job myself. He reminded them that he promised that he would look after his wife, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health, and for better or for worse. He will love her, take care, and protect her for as long as they both shall live. And he said, my wife needs me to accompany her and walk by her side to complete the final stage of her life. And that's, so the commitment was truly, truly till death will part them. And indeed she died later, but Dr. McQuilkin had done his own part. He fulfilled the promise that he kept. It's not easy. It's not easy. I know a friend going through that as we speak in Nigeria. And he has been going through it since, well, over the past 15 years or so. Day in, day out, looking after the spouse. Constantly. But it was keeping a promise that he made. So I ask you, brothers and sisters, are you keeping your promise? I pray that God would give you strength to do so when that time comes, if that time comes. May God help us to follow the good example of Ruth in our walk with Jesus and in our marital relationships. In conclusion, we have looked at the topic lessons from the life of Naomi, and we focused on 3 points. Life is full of surprises. It is not yet over. Until death do us part. When we are going through difficult times, we need God's strength so as not to fall into the temptation of bitterness towards God and man. Even when things look hopeless, let us not give up. It's not over until God says it's over. Let us also follow Ruth's great example. Now, you will notice in Ruth chapter 1, verse 6, it was stated that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. In a way, this is what God did for us in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, verse 35, we read, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Indeed, Jesus Christ, the bread of life, was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? If not, today is another opportunity to do so. Salvation is free because Jesus has paid for it with his dear life. He shed his blood, or his blood was shed for us on the cross. And all our sins were nailed to the cross. And we are free. And the gift is completely free. If you have never accepted him, today is another opportunity. But if you are already a Christian, if you are already a true follower of Jesus, I ask you, is there any area of your life that God is focusing on today? An area where change is needed. An area where surrender is needed. If so, I challenge you to rededicate your life to him. May God interpret this message into our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have. Thank you that we can say that in all circumstances of life, we have Jesus. We have Jesus. We have Jesus. Praise you, Lord, for that. I pray, Lord, that the word that has gone out will bear fruit in the hearts of the hearers and in my heart as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.